It's Emma and Dean on Gaydio. We're coming to you from
Newport Beach,
California, baby.
Yeah, baby.
It is a beautiful Monday afternoon here as we sit and chill by the pool at the stunning Marriott Hotel and Spa. But we got here by Aer Lingus, an airline I hold very dear to my heart. It's green, it's Irish, and it's full of charm.
Ireland's only 4-star airline as well, Dean. They go to LA from 15 different UK cities. But the best bit is you go via Dublin, where you clear US customs.
Yes, often when you're travelling to America, the worst part of it is getting to immigration. Yeah. Sometimes immigration can last as long as the flight. But when you get to...
It's taken me 3 hours in the past.
Absolutely. But it's really great because you get to do all of that in Dublin. It's very friendly. It's very straightforward. Then as soon as you clear that, you're basically on your holiday then, aren't you?
Do you know what? I've never done it before, but I will definitely do it again. We clear customs so quickly and easily, didn't we?
We did.
We got off the flight at LAX and just walked off and went and got our rental car.
It was quite nice as well, because once we jumped in the car and we got here at night time, which was a perfect way to arrive, because you can go, you can chill, have a good sleep, wake up in the morning and we feel very fresh. I mean, you've just went for a run.
I was up by 6 a.m. in the morning, because we had a really early night because we were up for about 24 hours. Got up at 6 in the morning, meditated, did some yoga and then went for a jog.
You're so Californian.
I am unbelievably Californian already. Yes, I've already jogged down to the harbour side to check that out for everybody, and then unfortunately I had to run back up a hill. But
first impressions of Newport Beach then?
Yes, I'll tell you what, some Des Rezes out there.
Absolutely.
I think the lifestyle here is incredible. I've already picked out a possible ideal home and an ideal yacht, so I can't wait to get out and explore the town.
Well, we're just going to enjoy our Eggs Benedict together as we look over the stunning golf course that is around us. I love where we're sat because we're in what's called the Rose Garden of the hotel. It's glass, it's stunning, you can see everything, and also it's very, very quiet. So we're going to enjoy a nice, relaxing breakfast, then we're going to meet Maria, who is from Visit Newport Beach, who has got an incredible itinerary plan for us today here on Gaydio.
Look at where we are. We're sat on a beautiful veranda at the Newport Beach Marriott Hotel and Spa. The pool is right next to us. The palm trees in front of us. The sky above me is completely blue. There's hardly a cloud at all. We're sat on a lovely sofa with Maria Lucas from Visit Newport Beach. Maria, it's all right here, isn't it?
I hope so.
Not too bad.
Pretty beautiful, right? Special order for the weather for you guys today.
Well, I heard it hasn't really rained since about March. Is that all right?
That's about correct.
So you are responsible for this incredible day's worth of itinerary that we've got planned. It's an incredible place to be because it's just so relaxed. I don't think I've been so relaxed. Do you find that when people come here, they come here to chill? Even though we've got so much planned today, it's very chilled, isn't it?
That's exactly it. The whole vibe of Newport Beach, we call it laid back luxury. So it's very much an easy lifestyle. People are in shorts and flip-flops, walking around, having a good time, enjoying the beautiful sunshine and outdoors, which we are going to experience today with a bike ride, starting off with a bike ride. So we're going to go through the city of Corona del Mar, which is part of Newport Beach, and show you around town and stop off at a very special place for lunch called the Tackle Box and meet Brian Husky, who is the founder, and he was on Top Chef season 11, so pretty excited.
I'm hoping for fish tacos because I'm here, they're quite a speciality around here.
The best in the world, delicious. All sorts of different tacos, fish tacos, beef tacos, carnitas, all sorts of wonderful.
So you've put together an itinerary. Obviously, food's going to be part of it, which I'm very pleased about. What other sort of things are we going to do? What would you say people have to do if they come to Newport Beach?
I highly recommend the Pedego bike ride. You know, walking and biking around the city is truly the best way to see it. Driving around is great, but it doesn't allow you the quick stop when you see something spectacular, a view that you want to take a quick photo of. So biking does allow you to do that, and the Pedego bikes are electric.
Now I'm interested.
Because there are some hills.
Freaking out thinking we're going to be sweating because it is 22 degrees and we've been thrown on two bikes. Right. But actually, it's going to be quite easy, so we can take selfies and stuff and not be sweating.
A breeze, you guys.
Oh, lovely.
And you're actually going to have a really great time. We're going to be able to zoom around the city in no time. and see some great sights.
And importantly, because I've got my blue and white stripy top on and my anchor earrings, we're getting out on the water as well later?
We certainly are. One of the highlights of Newport Beach is the harbor. The harbor is kind of the jewel of the city.
It really is as well, actually. You know, Emma, tell the truth. You actually, go on, tell the truth. Tell her what you did.
I got up very early at 6:45 this morning and went jogging, and I've already been to the marina and picked my favourite house and favourite yacht.
Look at you.
But
well,
Maria,
done.
She didn't just casually stumble across it. She wasn't supposed to be there. She broke in.
Well, I don't know if that's technically true.
She broke into the marina. She broke in. She's been here not 5 minutes.
Hop a fence.
No, I didn't have to. I think there were some cleaners there that I just sort of went past them. And then I was just like walking up and down amongst all the yachts. But it's stunning. There's some incredible... Well, obviously some very wealthy people here. That's all I can say.
That is for sure. And you're going to get to see a lot more of that later today when we do what we call a dock and dine experience.
Ooh.
So we are going to get on a boat and do a tour of the harbor, and then we're going to stop off at a restaurant, dock and dine, and then jump back on the boat and head back home. So
what a day. I mean, there are worse things to do on a Monday, aren't there?
It's not bad, is it?
Do you know
it?
What I mean?
I tell you, there are people that live down there, though, Dean. I'm pointing like everyone else can see me, but there are people, literally, who live just a few, like, kilometres from where we're right at, who have that as a daily lifestyle.
It's phenomenal.
They just hop on their yacht and go and find a nice restaurant.
It's gorgeous.
There's super wealthy people.
So it's a jam-packed day, Maria. We are delighted to have you with us, and it sounds like, you know, it's going to be a tough but a very enjoyable day here in the sunshine.
I hope you guys enjoy every second of it. The day is beautiful, and the rest of the week is going to be spectacular as well.
Thank you so much, Maria. And if people want to find out more information, I guess the best place is just go to visitnewportbeach.com.
Yep, and all the information is on there. Things to do, places to see, places to eat.
That's visitnewportbeach.com.
Emma and Dean in Newport Beach, California. And we've been told, Dean, the best way to see the city is on bike, yeah?
Yes, that is right. And Maria has, as she said before, has a jam-packed day full of relaxing but yet very exciting activities. We're joined now by Kelly from Pedego. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Gadio. What have we got in store here? These bikes look really colourful.
They really are, and we like colour because that means people see us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be seen when we're on a bike, of course, right?
Have you taken that into account with your own outfit as well? Let's just talk through what Kelly's wearing today.
Yes,
you are resplendent in pink.
Hot pink.
Hot pink.
And I wear something bright every time I bike because the same as the bike, I want people to see us for safety.
Yeah. Now, Pedego, these are bikes, but they're electronic bikes. Talk us through it. Tell us about them.
Yes, each bike has a battery, which allows it to go 20-plus miles per hour.
Right.
And it has a throttle here, which we use. You can either pedal or throttle or do both.
So, because I have used an electronic bike before, but you did have to pedal to get it to work. But these are different.
This is different. Mm. You only engage the battery if you use the throttle.
Okay.
So, depending on how much exercise you want to get, you can pedal the whole way, or you can pretend you're on a Vespa and throttle the whole time and be lazy and just enjoy the
Are we going up any hills, Kelly?
I do include them because it's so fun.
Great. Full throttle for me then.
Yes. But nice and relaxing though as well. So I think, you know, if you're planning to come to Newport Beach for the day, but you want to get out and see things, but perhaps you don't want to put too much energy into it, Pedego is the way, right?
Yes, and we cover so much more territory on a bike than you can in a car. Mm. We're going to really get around to a lot of places.
What are you going to show us then?
We're going to start by going to Big Corona and Little Corona State Beach in Corona del Mar, and also stopping at a local eatery there. And then we're going to go down the road to Crystal Cove State Beach, which has beautiful scenery. It's a state park. And then we're going to go to Balboa Island, take a ferry boat across the water, and go to the Balboa Peninsula, to the very tip end where it's called the Wedge.
Oh, this is where all the surfing takes place.
Yes, very high waves at some days.
I've heard 9 foot.
Are we going to see any hot surfers today?
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. can probably hear the ocean in the background, Emma. Where are we?
Oh, my goodness me. We are on a bike tour of Newport Beach. These Pedego bikes are incredible because
they really are.
I've probably pedalled for about 10 seconds in the last half an hour. We've gone uphills, we've gone downhills, and we've done a good couple of miles. I think the most overriding experience I've had in the last half an hour is just house envy, though. I don't know about you.
I mean, I am green with envy, actually, because this part of Newport Beach, actually, when we crossed the bridge just a little while ago, and the houses go from $1.5 million to a cool $30 million, what you can see is worth its weight in gold, actually, because you get not only do you get the most incredible marina, it's one of the biggest marinas in the world, actually. It holds about 4,000 boats and yachts at the moment,
so
and you can see that from your window.
You get this incredible view, and all of the houses are just totally individual and designed by different architects.
Yes.
And, I mean, some of them are beautiful that I would choose, like nice glass-painted fronts with nice roof terraces and balconies.
And I picked the one 2 doors down. I don't know how that would work.
We need at least a house to separate us,
don't
we? A
house to separate us.
But we've also just gone past a house which everyone here calls the Harry Potter house.
Yes, and I managed to nab one of the staff, actually, that works in the Harry Potter house. And that's not its official name, by the way. And I've been told, actually, secretively, at the garden gate, that the stone used in this house, Emma, is... 200. It was imported from France, and the wood is 250 years old.
It looks like they've tried to recreate a French chateau in the middle of Newport Beach.
It's remarkable.
It's got turrets. It looks like really ramshackle.
It looks like a film set. It does. The people that live in there are philanthropists. But Kelly's still with us. Kelly, tell us, the kind of people that you'd sort of meet in and around here, you know, what's the community like?
It's a wide range of people. There's no specific set. There's transplants from all over the world who live here, and they're all very friendly, and it's a nice community.
Yeah, well, tell us what you were saying before, that you live on a sort of side street in a little bungalow, but you come down and hold your book clubs. Tell us more.
I do. I live in an original 1940s bungalow, which is what this area used to be like, but there's hardly any left now, so my property's unique. But it's very small, but it's all I need now.
I love it. And she just brings her book club and just sits on the grass verge, like looking out the ocean, and brings a blanket.
We
and
call
a little...
it BYOC, bring your own chair, and you can bring a bottle of wine.
A bottle of wine, oh, very nice.
And we sometimes even talk about our book. It's just a great place to convene.
And tell us where we are then, because we're looking out over the main beach, are we?
This is Big Corona State Park. Yes, and as you can see, there's maybe a dozen homes here built right into the cliff, and they go down 3 or 4 levels.
And you were telling us as well, on a good day, actually, you might do some whale spotting.
Yes, I have personally spotted a mother whale who brought her baby here close to shore. It's a good place for them to play. They also, you can see them sort of on their backs, like they're scratching themselves on the gravelly, sandy bottom. It's really fun to watch.
The feeling here today, actually, Emma, it's almost like a Sunday. Is it a Sunday every day in Newport Beach?
Look, somebody's got to work.
See the rock to the left? He's frolicking, that's the best word. He'll come up in just a second.
Oh,
he's
there we go.
To the left of the rock.
How lovely.
So see, if you just happen to be looking at the right time, you'll see something. You'll see him before we leave.
We can't see any surface at the moment, but just the other side of the entrance to the harbour there, tell us what that area is there, where we can see the big waves.
It's known as the Wedge, and it's created by the jetty being put there, right where the beach and the jetty meet. And when the atmospheric conditions are right, or if there's a big storm out at sea, sometimes we'll get 15-foot waves.
Whoa.
And a lot of daredevils come to put on a show, and the news vans will be there with their cameras, and sometimes 1,000 people watching when that occurs.
15-foot, that's as big as a house.
It is.
It's insane.
Very high. And that's, of course, why using Pedego is probably the best, isn't it? Because as we sort of said before, you tried to do this in your car, you just wouldn't get quite as good as experience as you do on the Pedego.
Pedego, look, we just pulled right over to the side of the road.
And we've still got so much more to say, so let's get back on the bike.
Emma and Dean for Gadio. Ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. It's Emma and Dean. We are on the Big Corona, which is the main beach, or one of the main beaches, in Newport Beach in California. A man has literally just walked past me carrying a surfboard, Dean.
Yes.
You're looking the wrong way. He's gone that way now.
Uh-oh.
But could you get anything more Californian happening right now?
It is, and I would like to say that we've worked up an appetite to come and... feast on what we're about to in a bit, but we haven't really, because those pedagos are possibly the best way to get around Newport Beach.
Yeah, but do you know what? I've heard so much about this place and the food in Newport Beach, I can't wait to get stuck in.
Yes.
So we're currently with Brian Husky, who's the owner of Tackle Box. That's an interesting name for a business. Tell us about your tackle.
So I'm Brian Husky. I have a restaurant here in Corona Del Mar called Tackle Box. So it's just basically an elevated beach shack. You know, literally it's a window that's accessible probably 100 yards from the ocean. And you can get delicious, thought out burgers, sandwiches, you know, clam chowders, you know, the beach eats that you would want, you know, on a nice sunny Southern California day.
Well, I'm going to say, we're used to, like, beach stuff in England, in Blackpool, for example. You wouldn't get nice quality, not being rude to Blackpool or anywhere, but you wouldn't get the quality of food next to the beach that we're going to eat now. So we've ordered some incredible stuff. I'm having catfish.
Yes, I'm having the cheese steak.
The cheese steak, yes. You're having the catfish and the cheese steak. So, you know, the catfish is a very fried catfish sandwich is a very popular sandwich protein of choice in the South here in the United States. So a lot of my menu items are basically inspired off of regional American, you know, foods and sandwiches and flavor profiles. And basically I've created my own, you know, renditions of each dish per se. For instance, the cheesesteak, which you'll be having, that is, you know, very popularized out in Philadelphia in Pennsylvania, out on the East Coast. However, we do our rendition by adding crispy garnishes like crispy jalapenos.
My mouth is watering.
Yeah, stop it. I mean,
I can't wait to get it out on the plate. So you were on the top five of a very famous American program called Top Chef. Tell us about that.
Top Chef, it was a fantastic experience. You know, it was basically, I'd say, summer camp with knives in a sense.
That's not very appealing, does it?
No, but this happened about, like, you know, 6 years ago in my life. I was on Top Chef Season 11. It took place in New Orleans, down in the South. I made a nice run, got into the top five, unfortunately got eliminated. But for me, it was a great experience, like I said, a great way to meet a lot of chefs nationally and have a weekly platform to showcase my cookery and just have a good time.
So I think it's fair to say you're like a internationally known celebrity chef, but you've chosen to run a beach stall here in Newport Beach. Why?
Hardly an internationally known chef,
you know.
But...
Milk it up.
You've been on the telly.
thank you. I appreciate it. No, it's, you know, being here on the beach, you know, it's the best thing possible. You know, for me, I grew up in Los Angeles, you know, Hollywood stars, all that, you know, working in all the fancy restaurants. And it came to a point in my career where I was like, all right, do I want to chase those Hollywood stars and be in this elaborate million-dollar facade, you know, having all these investors, or do I go more of the beach life where it's, you know, very chill, you know, negative ions every day, vitamin D every day.
Yes.
How could you not beat this? So that is pretty much why I chose to come down south to beautiful Newport Beach.
But it's not just about the restaurant, is it, though? You're quite... I heard you say just before that you're thinking of sort of rewiring the... Give me that line again. What's the passion? It's not just the food, is it?
Well, the idea is to, like, rewire the community and the culture of what this beach shack is. So previous to me being down here, which started about 3.5 years ago, we just finished our fourth summer, it was basically ran as a hyper-seasonal concession stand, you know, the garbage food of, like, canned nacho cheese, frozen hot dogs, frozen chicken fingers for about 3 months. So about 4 summers ago, I came over down here and I changed that all around, running it as a year-round concept and running fresh, elevated. You know, by the same time, nothing, no smoke and mirrors, you know, it's not lobster and caviar and you know, molecular gastronomy, but it's, you know, for me, the most Americana way to eat anything is a sandwich, you know, so that's what I've done, is elevated a beautiful hamburger and created some awesome.
Do you know
sandwiches.
What I love about you, Brian? You're so passionate about what you do. You've even got your logo, which is a fish that's going to hook, tattooed on your right arm, and on your left arm,
pots
you've got
and pans.
Pots and pans tattooed. And what does it say across the pots and pans?
So it's kind of like my motto, like no fire, no heat, no life. It kind of resonates, I think, in all aspects of life, whether you're cooking or not. I think the whole tattoo of our logo that happened after our first year anniversary. anniversary, I thought, you know what, this is permanent, and I hope this brand is here to stay and just continue to grow it.
I think it will be, though, don't you? I think this is the perfect place to have a beach shack, isn't it?
No, I'm very fortunate to have a beach shack and have this opportunity to, like I said, bring something great for the community, where the community is proud of, and also visitors can experience something that's very Americana and the whole beach life, beach eats, and just some awesome food while you're soaking in some beautiful
Speaking of food.
Is it coming?
Oh, my goodness.
Something for the vegans here. Some buffalo cauliflower.
Minus the ranch, because obviously the vegans can't have the ranch. But other than that, the buffalo cauliflower is fantastic. This is actually one of the more popular dishes here. The inspiration here is I love buffalo chicken wings, but having a beach shack here, no one wants to see random bones laying around. So I was like, you know what? This is my opportunity to create a dish using the flavor profile I really enjoy, the buffalo chicken wing.
It smells delightful. It smells absolutely gorgeous.
Well, I am so looking forward to this lunch. I've got the perfect setting. We've got the beach. We've got amazing food. And let me just tell you, I've also got a view of the University of California's women's volleyball team.
So we've been fed and we've been watered. And Emma, out of the corner of her eye, spotted how many women?
There's about 20 very fit, athletic, mainly blonde, tall women who we're told, we think, are actually from the University of California's volleyball team.
Yes.
Women's volleyball team.
They're wearing very short shorts. It's a very hot day. And we're going to just try and see if they wouldn't mind Emma joining in with their activities.
No, I'm not joining in with their activities because I did volleyball at school and I was absolutely crap.
But this is
and
how these we get guys, you close to them.
These guys are incredible.
Yeah.
I said they're all about 6 foot tall.
But that's code for, are any of you single?
We're just walking on a deep sand at the moment. It's actually quite hard to walk.
It's a very hot day and we're going to see how this goes. I mean, it could go one way or the other.
This could go absolutely anywhere.
Hi, girls.
What's the name of your team? Oh, okay, that's fine. Are we allowed to watch or not? We can watch, okay.
Hi, coach.
We'll speak to your coaches then.
And we noticed that you guys are rehearsing. We might have a quick chat with us.
Okay.
Emma can wait 15 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. Just tell us what the name of your team is.
Concordia University.
Sorry?
Concordia University.
Concordia University.
Nice. Okay, we'll be cheerleaders. Woohoo! I thought that went rather well.
That really was.
Well, basically, you can stand here at the sideline now and you can stare at them and they're not going to be too worried about you now.
They've got their backs to us. They've all got very good tans, haven't they? They all spend a lot of time on this beach.
Who knew people take volleyball so seriously?
It's an Olympic sport, Dean.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Are you joking?
Is it really?
Beach volleyball is an Olympic sport.
Okay.
Do you not remember in 2012? I don't know where they put the Olympic beaches in London, but anyway, they did.
Statistically, one of them probably plays for your team.
Summer and Dean in Newport Beach, California. We're still in the middle of our epic bike ride. We've just gone over a bridge, which means we're now in Bilbao Peninsula. Have I pronounced that right?
Balboa.
No, I didn't pronounce it right. So how do I say it again?
Balboa Island.
Okay, here we are on Balboa Island. It's more of a peninsula, really.
It is, and actually, as soon as you come over that bridge, Emma, with the six American flags, it's almost like entering into a whole different city.
It's almost like entering a different time zone. It's like everything's suddenly gone to just one story. Everything feels a bit older and a bit quainter and just a bit of a slower pace of life. And we've come to a place that opened in 1945. And this is what people come here for. And this is what people have their childhood memories about, having a Balboa bar, which I've never heard of in my life, but we are in the place to get them, apparently.
Yes.
So we've just been explained this. It's a four-step thing that we have to go through to choose.
We've come to a place called Frozen Banana, and it is exactly what it says on the tin. You can either choose a frozen banana, a Balboa bar, a frozen cheesecake, Emma, or a frozen tiramisu. What are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for the Balboa, because that's the typical one that you should get here.
How big is the banana? We're just asking the lady. There's two sizes, okay.
Two banana sizes.
Yeah, okay.
She's just delving in her...
Okay.
Oh, my God, so that's a ginormous banana!
So there's one about 6 inches and there's one about... about nine.
That's about inches.
Nine. I think I'm going to go for the big one.
Okay, that's fine.
Can I get a big banana?
I'm going to get Balboa vanilla Then you choose your dip. I'm going to go premium dark chocolate. What are you going for?
I'm going to dip my banana into the classic chocolate, I think.
Okay, yeah, you go that. And then you've got to choose a topping.
Mm. Yeah, you can choose up to two.
Choose up to two? Okay, you're treating us today.
Oh, you've got to have rainbow sprinkles on your banana.
Oh, can I get peanut and chocolate sprinkles and coconut sprinkles as well, please?
Okay. God.
I mean, this is amazing. This and then you can literally just turn around, Emma, and sit on the bench in the sun looking at the world go by.
Oh, my God, they've got salted caramel. Salted caramel for me, please.
Okay.
And maybe peanuts. Oh, my God, how many calories in this?
Considering how big our lunch was, we're definitely not counting calories today. Just go for it.
This is outrageous. Did we make good choices there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Too much calories.
It's Emma and Dean, stood on a very fancy yacht in a yacht club in Newport Beach, California.
And you believe this is actually happening?
It's not a bad day at work, is it, really?
Oh, it's been a really tough day. It really has. We've been absolutely spoilt. We've been fed, we've been watered, and now we've literally taken to the water on board a boat called The Promotion here in Newport Beach.
And I'm with Captain Paul. Paul, please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Blank from Corona Del Mar, California, and welcome aboard the good ship Promotion.
It's stunning. And it's stunning.
And your job is to promote the harbour, is that right? Kinda.
A minor league job of mine. It's not really my primary focus, but I'm happy to be promoting with you all today. It's a beautiful day to be out in Newport Harbour, and there's no reason we shouldn't be out there enjoying it.
Paul, I want you just to explain to our listeners then, because it's really hard to try and describe the magnitude of this port, but also just how beautiful and tranquil it is. Explain what we can see.
The harbour itself is 4.5 miles. Let's see, that would be 15 kilometers long by about 8 kilometers wide. And it's a fairly wide expanse. There's a very gentle breeze blowing right now. 4 knots, 5 knots of breeze. It's 76 degrees or 24 Celsius.
It's ideal.
It really is.
I heard this is the biggest recreational harbor in the world. Is that right?
It is not the biggest recreational harbor in the world. It is the biggest recreational harbor west of the Mississippi River in the United States. So there are about 9,000 recreational boats or pleasure boats here in the harbor. There's about 1,100 residences around the harbor, most of which have boats in front of them. And then there's folks like me who don't actually live on the harbor but live close by and keep my boat in the harbor, thankfully. So it's convenient to get down here and enjoy a day.
So this is your boat?
This is my boat.
You're living the dream, Paul. Let's talk about the boat
because when Emma got on the boat, we said, right, we've got to do a little explore. So we went down those 3 steps just below where you're going to be driving us, and you've got a little room down there.
I do.
What happens in this
little
room, Paul?
Well, lots of goodness happens down in the forward cabin. It's currently configured for 2 bunks. My bunk is the shorter one because I'm you may have noticed I'm sort of short of stature. My bunk is on the starboard side. There's a bunk for a friend on the port side. And if things go well, there's an insert where we can have as many people as you want down there.
Tonight could be fun.
Tonight should be very fun.
Well, it started well, hasn't it? Because also on this boat, which is a beautiful boat, that's a cocktail bar.
There is. It's the first thing I noticed as we walked onto the jetty. I said, oh, there's a bar. It's going to be a good night. But we got on, and the first thing that that Captain Paul said was, would you like a drink? He knew his audience.
And what is your speciality, the martini, which type?
This is a Vesper martini, originally penned by Ian Fleming as the drink enjoyed by James Bond, 007, in Casino Royale. So it's a martini made with 2/3 vodka, 1/3 gin, and Lillet instead of vermouth.
Well, can I say, when I was 7 years of age, my dream was to be James Bond, and I think today is the closest I'm ever going to get. I'm here on the back of a boat in California sipping Vestas with my friend Emma, who's my Bond girl officially because she's wearing her sunglasses. And I want you to tell us then what the itinerary is for the evening. What am I, James Bond, going to see?
Well, I guarantee you, if you have one of these martinis, you will feel like James Bond.
Will we end up in the bunk?
Quite possibly.
Oh, Paul.
I'm not opposed to that.
Oh, gosh. Easy.
Steady. It's taking a turn, isn't it?
So what's happening tonight then? What are we going to see?
So shortly we will start the engine and we will depart the dock here at the Bravo Yacht Club. We'll take a lovely tour of Newport Harbor and we'll see some of the fantastic sights, including natural wildlife that lives in the harbor, including dolphins and sea lions.
I've already seen a sail, Paul. Yeah, already.
It's a good thing. That's actually a California sea lion. Mm-hmm. There is a difference. Not really important.
Well, it is to conservationists.
It is to conservation, exactly. And they're standing all around us, so that's why I'm being so specific. You'll see some crew shells going by currently. That is the UCI, or I'm sorry, that's the Newport Aquatic Center actually working out. That's one of the high school teams, an A, B, and C boats from...
A rowing action going on there.
Exactly,
very nice.
Newport Harbor High School. Boys 8s are rowing by. We'll see more of that while we're out today. We'll see some incredibly beautiful real estate, some incredibly expensive real estate. And
we've already seen some of that, and that impresses me a lot, but you did promise us celebrity houses. So who are we going to see? Well, not to see, but we might see their house.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're not likely to see any celebrities, but we will see the houses occupied by Shirley Temple Black, John Wayne, Nicolas Cage,
and soon to be Emma Goswell if she plays her if she plays her cards right, because she's picked about 6 houses in this harbour already. Captain Paul,
yes,
it's time to start the engine.
Let's start that motor.
Anchors up, boys.
The sun is setting over the beautiful Newport Beach. We're here in the most incredible port. I'm holding a glass of Californian Chardonnay, and Emma Goswell is holding the wheel of the boat, and I'm a wee bit scared.
Well, earlier you heard us talking to Captain Paul. What Captain Paul didn't realise was all along I've been planning this mutiny, and I've just been gagging to get behind the wheel.
Yes, Captain Paul is tied up under the boat. He's no longer with us. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, talking, Paul. We're in charge. Thank you very much.
No, literally, I am having the best day ever. For the last 10 minutes, I've been driving a, 37-foot yacht through Newport Beach Harbour.
Yeah.
I've done, turns, I've gone under bridges, I've gone past other boats, I've avoided boys.
I'm very proud of you, actually, because you're driving on the right-hand side as well.
But that is what Captain Paul told us before. So do I need to go left here a little bit?
To the right.
Where are we going now?
To the right. To the restaurant, yes.
Literally just driving.
I'm not going to advise, popping open a bottle of Chardonnay and driving boats. That's not exactly the message that we want to give off. However...
if you can find a rich person to let you drive their boat, then go for it, I say.
Do it. That, you're very close to that yacht there, Emma. I'm not sure that our wages cover that.
It's all right.
So just to the left.
Literally, how much is that boat on our right worth now?
Probably about 3.5 million.
Yeah,
I'd stay well clear.
Let's try not on crash.
It is a fabulous evening. And do you know what, Emma? Do you know more than anything else? I think we suit this lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think we were born to be here.
So when you're a millionaire and you can buy a yacht, I'll drive it for you. That's fine.
Yeah, we've just passed John Wayne's house on the right there. John Wayne's house, yes, lovely.
Which is now owned by a real estate property developer called Beverly, who really likes landscaping quite a lot. We've been shown some incredible properties.
We have, and we've actually just also passed the man who sold potatoes to McDonald's. He lives in Newport Beach. Now, if that's not a reason to come here, I don't know what is.
I tell you what, this is an incentive for life, isn't it? This man is a potato farmer from Idaho that now lives in a sort of £30 million mansion on the harbour with his own yacht at the end. Who said there's no money in potatoes?
Who says there isn't? No, tonight we're going to be heading off to do a dock and dine, which is quite popular here in Newport Beach, actually, isn't it?
I don't know. Am I going the right way?
No, you're not. I was going to say avoid that boy, but you do that every day, Emma.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Woman for this job.
You are indeed. You're doing very well, my darling. I'm going to retire to the back of the boat because there's a chilled bottle of Chardonnay waiting for me. I'm going to potentially de-gag Captain Paul when we need to tie this up, because I don't think that you can,
And also, I'm not being funny, but in about 60 seconds, I am going to hit that restaurant in a very expensive yacht.
Shall I unhandcuff Paul?
Shall we stop talking and get the captain back? Paul, come back! All is forgiven!
We're off for a dock and dine for a glass of wine and a lovely big feed here in Newport Beach to see. Evening. It's been a hard day.
It's been terrible.
Can I tell you how much I enjoyed being tied up?
Seriously.
That was really beautiful.
Seriously, where am I going? Because there's a big bit of land. To the right.
So if, in the likely event that our radio jobs go down the pan after this trip here in Newport Beach, do you think that we could be sailors?
Absolutely. You guys are fantastic. We've got a spot for you here.
I mean, basically, if you want to come here and do this in Newport Beach, it's quite difficult unless you, kidnap someone like Paul.
Yes.
But there are loads of other different alternatives of stuff that people can get up to. So you can get on the water.
Yeah.
Because I'd recommend if you come here, actually, seeing the city from the water is probably the best way that you can see it and see the lifestyle.
And also, the locals that live here, this is what they do at the weekend. So if you want that slice of, laid-back luxury, this is how you do it. You get your friends together, you get a couple of bottles of whatever you want to drink, and you go out on a duffet. That's how you do it.
Yeah, these are like little boats that you can just rent quite cheaply and just drive around the harbour in, yeah?
Yeah, and also you avoid being arrested for tying up captains, which is what might happen to us today. It's Emma and Dean on Gay Radio, the beat of Gay UK. What a day we've had. We have been on pedagos, we've been on boats, and we've had beautiful lunch, and now it's time to have a beautiful dinner. And in Newport Beach, actually, there's a really unique experience that you can enjoy, which is called a dock and dine. Emma, what a phenomenal surroundings that we have this evening.
Yeah, we're in the beautiful restaurant called The Cannery. We'll find out a little bit more about that shortly. But what is quite unique is that behind me there is a car park, but actually we've arrived by boat and it's got its own jetty, and that's how a lot of people get here.
It's stunning.
Just something else, isn't it? So we're having dinner and we're just looking at the boat we arrived on. It's brilliant. We're with the general manager, Colby Reedy. Colby, tell us a little bit about this restaurant, because it's got quite an amazing history, hasn't it?
Absolutely. So the cannery has been here since the 20s. It was actually one of the busiest canneries in California in the time of its heyday. So essentially we're on the Rhine Channel, and so all the fishing boats would come from the ocean, because the ocean opens up and you have the harbor mouth where they would all come in from catching all their fish locally. They would come down here. They canned mackerel and tuna here for many, many years. This is the same structure that's been up since its actual original use. In the 70s, it was turned into a restaurant by the Hamiltons. The Hamiltons then turned this place into one of the best and funnest places to be. Live music, dancing. It was just the scene in the 70s and 80s. It had a downturn and the ownership changed, so they essentially sold it to some developers to turn it into condos. And a local businessman said, absolutely not. We are keeping this as a historical landmark. So him and our current owner, Ron Salisbury, opened up the cannery. They remodeled it and just kind of said, let's see what we can do. And this is our 17th year in operations, and we are just thriving. It's fantastic. Business is booming. So.
And I think you get a sense of the history, don't you? Because just looking at the building, it's just like a big tin structure in yellow and red, and it looks like a factory.
Absolutely. And it is a very, very old building, and we deal with those problems pretty consistently.
Oh,
so
rust, I'm going to say rust.
Rust, wires, but we make it work. So it's definitely fun. There's some pictures inside too that show you the history and show you actually the way it was in its when they changed it into the cannery restaurant. And there's some old pictures that show you that they kept all of the same equipment and stuff, and
wow,
they just gutted the kind of main tools that they use to can the fish and stuff.
But now it's a very classy restaurant with white tablecloths and lots of different wine glasses, and it looks like you've got a nice clientele there expecting some quality food.
Absolutely.
Including ourselves. What would you recommend that we order off the menu tonight?
I mean, some of the favorites. We've got a new chef. He's a young chef. He's worked his way up in the cannery. He's our executive chef, Phil Tangonan. He's Filipino. He's put a lot of his flair into his dishes. One of the favorite dishes is the Peruvian baked scallops. So it's a scallop in the half shell that has an uni compound butter that's placed on top of it with panko breadcrumbs, and then it's baked in the oven, which gives it a little bit crispy. And then you put tabico, which is flying fish roe from China, on top of that to finish it off, and then a lime squeeze over it, and it's a mouthful of just fantastic ocean flavors. It's wonderful.
It is. I just had some.
Did you?
Really good. Yeah. We are about to order our main courses.
Yes.
Please just tell us exactly what you think we should order to get the full Newport Beach cuisine experience.
I would stick with seafood, obviously. Not to say that we have a bone and ribeye, which I call the Fred Flintstone steak, because when you set it on the table, it's almost as if the table's going to turn over the size of it. We have our filet, which is fantastic, but our seafood is just top notch. Our Alaskan halibut is wonderful, and then we have our Chilean sea bass. So,
well, I was considering that. Would you say go for that? All the fish tacos, because I've also been a bit obsessed with them.
Fish tacos are fantastic.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But if you're going to look at that menu, I would do the Chilean sea bass.
Colby, we arrived by boat today, and we've got to leave by boat. And I'm telling you what, looking at that menu, we could fill our boots here. But I'm not sure that boat would hold us up until we on the way home this evening. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, the wine's gorgeous. The ambiance is beautiful. You know, in one word, how would you sum up this restaurant?
I would say classic Newport Beach.
That's three, but that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, you're going to say it fast. Classic Newport Beach.
So you can probably hear in the background the rolling seas.
Isn't it incredible? I feel like literally at any moment Pamela Anderson could just run down that beach at us, don't you?
Yes.
There is a lifeguard literally within about 10 metres of us who Dean cannot stop staring at.
He's rather lovely. He really is. Someone that is equally rather lovely this morning. We are joined now on the beach with the fabulous Laura Davick. Laura, introduce yourself.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Laura Davick, and I'm a third generation Coveite, which means I grew up here at Crystal Cove. My family's been here since 1937, but I'm actually the founder and vice president of a nonprofit organization called the Crystal Cove Conservancy.
Okay, so why does this area need conserving and need protecting?
Well, I began the organization in 1999. There was a 60-year contract to create a luxury resort here, and these cottages would never have been the same. And so when you think about California and when you visit Crystal Cove, it's one of the most iconic historic landscapes that we have in Orange County. It's a 3.2 miles of beautiful, pristine coastline with 2,400 acres of backcountry, so you can go mountain biking and hiking. And then offshore, we have an underwater park, a marine protected area, and then 46 historic cottages that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
It is really beautiful here. And I can just, these cottages, I'm trying to describe them, they're all sort of timber frame, they're all quite cute, aren't they?
But it's like being in a film.
It is like being in a film. But I mean, a lot of them are a bit run down now. They're all sort of like the paint's peeling off them. So is your job to sort of make sure they stay here and look
well,
the same?
Well, our job is threefold. As the nonprofit, our mission here is education, conservation, and preservation. So we have preserved 29 of the 46 historic cottages at this point. And it has become the most affordable lodging on the entire coast of California. We have both dorm-style lodges as well as individual private cottages. And you can actually stay here for as little as $36 per night for two people in one of our dorm lodges. And then our largest cottage, up to sleeping nine people, is at $251. So truly the most affordable place to stay
and
on the coast of California.
Wake up listening to that ocean every morning.
Absolutely.
And you have done that all your life, haven't you?
I have done it all my life. I've literally been here all my life, and my parents had cottage number two, and when I was a year old, they acquired the cottage, so I've been here, I won't say how old I am, but I'm old, and I've been here my whole life, yes.
So, obviously, very famous cottage, just in the distance there. Tell us why it's so famous.
So the cottage down at the end of the beach that we're now looking at, it's a quaint little cottage, two-story with a little white picket fence, and it's known as the Beaches Cottage. That's where the film Beaches was filmed with Bette Midler, which really speaks to the Cove's early history, which back in 1900 and 1910, this was a place where California was made very popular, and Crystal Cove was made popular because of the films that were made here. So early filmmaking took place here in the teens and 20s, and then the cottages actually were built by families that were squatters here. So they had no rights to this land. Pacific Coast Highway had just opened up, and so these 46 cottages were built by families as squatters.
Right.
And so then later, this land here, which had been originally part of the Irvine Ranch and owned by the Irvine Company and the Irvine family, they offered leases to the people that were here in 1940. So if you were here, you were in, so to speak, and you had a place here at Crystal Cove.
So then how did the filmmaking come along? Did someone just stumble across it one day and say, we need to get this on the silver screen?
Well, you know, they loved, filmmakers and Warner Brothers especially loved Crystal Cove because they could create these South Sea genre films without ever leaving California. And so they'd come in, they would erect these small little film sets with palm fronds and palm trees, and it looked quite like something out of, you know, Hawaii or any other tropical location.
Any other films that we might have heard of?
Well, there was one film that was quite famous called Treasure Island that was made here. Yes, uh-huh.
Right.
And but there's a long list of films that have been made at Crystal Cove, and it's just a place that filmmakers love to come because it has this very unusual quality to it with these handmade cottages, this beautiful Pacific Ocean, and the rolling hills behind us.
Well, we've enjoyed one of the cottages already this morning, which is now home to the Beachcombers Restaurant. That place is something else, isn't it? Just tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful place to come and a wonderful experience. experience for people that want to have a beautiful meal right on the sand here at Crystal Cove. And also there's the Crystal Cove Shake Shack up on top of the hill, which is where you can go to get a date shake and all kinds of great shakes and hamburgers there too.
There was a lot of people having Bloody Marys for breakfast when we were there. They're the size of a bucket.
They are,
and they've got
huge.
Like a crab claw coming out of them and a huge shrimp. I've never seen Bloody Marys like it.
Definitely the size of a bucket.
We're also saying how beautiful the breakfast food is. We just don't have breakfast like this in the UK. Why is it so popular then, the cafe?
Well, I think, one, the food's great. The Bloody Marys are in buckets, mm-hmm. and the food is delicious. But look at the location you're at here. So there is one thing that I would like to tell people about that we're working on right now. People come down to Crystal Cove, and they see how beautiful it is, and the cottages, and the beachcomber, and all that is wonderful. But also, our mission here is education and preservation. And so we're working on the final 17 cottages here at Crystal Cove to preserve them back to the period of 1935 to 1955. And so if people are interested in learning more about that, they can go to our website at crystalcove.org. But we have about a five-year construction project behind us here and 17 cottages. And once we finish these cottages will all become overnight rentals. So it will double the opportunities for people to stay here, which is going to be great. And then in addition to that, one of the cottages will be used as a dorm style facility and will bring high school students down to study our newest program, which is coastal engineering. So there's a lot happening along the coast of California right now. And to help us with these programs, we work with University of California Irvine, UCI, our university here, and we want to educate students about coastal erosion, about climate change, and about sea level rise. And what better place than right here at Crystal Cove to create this outdoor classroom?
Do you know what? Right now, I'm so jealous that you've got to spend your life here. But if I ever come back to California, I'm definitely staying in one of these cottages. It's a really good tip. Thank you, Laura, so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of your time here at beautiful Crystal Cove.
It's Emma and Dean on Gaily with a Beat of Gay UK, and you'll be pleased to know that we've taken our clothes off.
Yes, I am currently in a bikini. This could be a first.
It's lovely. I like your bikini.
On air in a bikini, and we're on a beach, but we're not actually by the sea. We're a bit inland.
We are.
In a place called Newport Dunes, or
That's
Back
right.
Bay.
That's
and we're
right.
here because we're going to do some paddle boarding, which I'm quite excited about because I've never done it.
I'm quite nervous, actually, because I just don't want to fall into the water. I think that is going to happen. We're joined now by Mark Ullman. You are the owner and founder of Paddleboard, is that right?
Pirate Coast Paddle, to give them the full title. Why did you call yourself Pirate Coast Paddle?
I don't know, just back when we started about a decade ago, pirates were kind of a big thing back then. And
they've always been a big thing in my life.
Films are coming out and I like pirates, so I just kind of stuck. I just made it up in my kitchen one night and friends and family liked it, and they said, why don't you just go with that?
While drinking some rum, I hope.
Yeah, probably doing that too.
So, Mark, tell us, what is paddleboarding? Because some people might not actually know what it is.
So, paddleboarding is, it's basically paddling on an oversized surfboard. Mm-hmm. The sport started in Hawaii. It made its way over here about 8 years ago. And it's mostly for calm waters. You can do it on calm waters, out in the ocean. A good way to get exercise.
Yeah, cause I think most people will think California associates it with surfing, wouldn't they, really? Like, that's what you got to do when you go to California. But why would you encourage people to try paddleboarding instead of or as well as surfing?
Well, I think a lot of people, they're drawn to paddleboarding because surfing is so difficult, and it's something that you can't pick up right away. Paddleboarding, you kind of get the same feel. You're standing on a board, you're in the water. It's a lot easier to learn. You can pick it up in...
Okay. So you're standing. I think Dean wants to know if he can go on his knees.
Yeah, we'll probably all start on our knees for a second, and then we'll stand up, but yeah. Mm.
Like all good afternoons.
Yeah.
Now, talk to us about this bay, then. What made you come to this bay?
It's one of the easiest places to learn. It's a safe area. It's a lot easier to paddle back here than out in the ocean.
Mm.
So I used to do tours in the ocean, but it was just too dangerous and too difficult. There's lifeguards here in the summer. We have our kids camps too, so it's a nice area to have kids. And it's just a family-friendly spot.
Well, it's a beautiful spot, and I can't wait to get out on the water. So what are you going to do with this? Where are we going on our paddleboard?
We'll just kind of do a little tour around the back bay. So yeah, we're still about 4 miles from the actual ocean. The Back Bay is a special area because there's a lot of wildlife. So you got salt water from the ocean mixing with fresh water from the mountains. So this is where a lot of birds are, fish. There's certain types of sharks. We'll probably see some stingrays.
Stingrays and sharks. You're going off the idea now, Dean.
Say that again.
They're friendly sharks. They're very small.
That doesn't exist.
They don't even have teeth. I promise you they're
nice. A little birdie tells me you've got piranhas in there as well.
No.
You don't?
No, it's all safe.
Okay, just sharks then. Yeah. Great.
Just
perfect.
Friendly sharks.
Yeah, don't forget the stingrays.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Can I just double check that you don't have to do this naked? Like, we don't have to do an Orlando Bloom. Just double checking.
Yep. Yeah, you don't have to do it naked.
No, because when we went to Key West, they were all about the naked paddleboarding there. Is that a thing around here?
That would be a lot more fun if we could do it like that.
We can make that happen if you want that.
We'd get in trouble if we did.
Yeah, I'm sure we'd scare everybody away. And if you're rubbish, can you just sit on the board and just kind of like...
Yeah.
Push, you bet.
Yeah. Can I, basically, what I'm asking is, can I come on your board? Because I just don't think I'm going to be very good.
If you need some help, yeah, I could help you out. Or a lot of people, they will sit down if they get tired or if they're having a difficult time. We also have kayaks, too. Mm. So in the summer, if people have a hard time paddleboarding, we just say, hey, why don't you just sit in a kayak?
It's literally the perfect thing to do on a Saturday. You and a bunch of friends in California doing paddleboarding.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
Okay, well, we're about to go out. Any top tips for us then as novice paddleboarders?
No, we'll go over all those tips we get out on the water or on the beach here. But basically just have fun and... We'll just try to stay dry and not fall in.
And avoid the stingrays and sharks.
Avoid the stingrays
basically.
And sharks. Yep.
All right, Mark, let's get to it then. I would like to say that I look as seamless and as professional as a man in a gondola going through Venice or something, but I'm not. I look like a really wonky, nervous wreck because things keep jumping out of the water. And... I'm also petrified that Emma's going to hit her head when we go under this bridge. It's also quite windy, Emma. How are you going to... Why have you started standing up?
So I'm just at the edge of the lake or lagoon or whatever you want to call it at the moment. I'm about to get on my board. Now, the guy said, actually, we should start kneeling, but I'm not very good on my knees. I have got a slight knee injury, which I won't bore you with the details, but I'm going to start standing up. So I'm going straight to advanced level.
Go on,
right?
Em, you can do it.
What did you say? Or do you think I should start on my knees and then stand up straight away?
Can you, be on your knees for 5 seconds?
Oh, 5 seconds, yeah, that's
so
fine.
I'm
already really unstable.
So you're going to keep those hands in front of you?
So it's looking like I'm doing a downward dog
at
the moment.
Exactly.
Clench your bum.
So keep your hands in front.
I feel like I'm doing yoga while I'm floating.
And then you're going to stand up.
Okay, well, that's fine. Right, I'm ready.
Go on.
Get those heels flat. Heels, there you go. Perfect. Relax.
Oh, I'm not relaxed. I'm not relaxed.
It's not going to tip.
This is scaring me.
Please don't take me with you.
So paddle up.
Well, I've not been funny. I've got cramp in my left foot. What? Crashing into me.
Come on.
This is terrifying. Why is it so scary? It looks so simple. Are my feet too far apart?
Good.
Okay, just need to relax. I'm just
nice
stressing out too much here.
Quite nice on your knees.
I'm actually out of breath, and all I've done is stand up. Okay, I'm relaxing into the idea now. Okay, this is fine. I can do this. So what, am I going to start paddling?
Yeah, we're going to try to go that way.
Okay, brilliant.
So,
unfortunately, there's some very attractive gay men in my way. Right, let me just push. Why are we doing this with a hangover? This was your fault.
The worst idea.
Dean McCullough, this is your fault. Stop going into me.
You're banging into me. Get away. Watch out for the sharks!
Hey, it's Emma and Dean in Newport Beach. Well, I say in Newport Beach, we're actually on the water again, Dean.
We're loving the water at the minute, aren't we? I think when you come to Newport Beach, you literally spend most of your time beside the water, if not in the water.
Or on the water, as
yes,
we are now. And I'm very excited to introduce to you Captain Taylor. Captain Taylor, where are we going? What are we going to be doing?
We're going whale watching.
Yes!
And hopefully we're going to find a whale. That's our goal. But there's no single spot we go to. We're just, right now we're cruising through the harbor, going to make our way out to the ocean. And it's a big open ocean out there. There's no spot that we go. But we'll go out there and do some exploring this morning. We're on a fast boat.
Yeah, explain to us about this boat, because it's really, really exciting. Because you've got saddle seats. Why do we have those?
The saddle seats. So you sit on those forward seats like you would a horse. And this boat does cruise about 30 miles an hour. So we use the saddle seats to help absorb some of the shock as we're going up and down the swells out there. You could absorb the shocks with your legs instead of your back, and it's a little more comfortable.
Nice.
Well, I'm quite excited. What are the chances of us actually seeing with our own eyes an actual whale in the next 2 hours?
I usually tell people 50-50, but I'm hoping today's a bit more 75-25.
Oh,
I'm hopeful.
This is exciting. And whales aren't the only thing that we're going to be seeing, is that right?
That's correct. We will see sea lions. I will guarantee you sea lions. We will probably see dolphin. We have a very high success rate at the dolphin. And we had a really cool day yesterday. We saw some orca whales.
Ah.
The killer whales. And we did get a report this morning from a fishing boat that potentially saw them. So that's why... Our success rate might be a little higher today than previous days.
What sort of whales do you normally get around here then in this part of the Pacific Ocean?
Typically this time of year we're looking for either humpback whales or blue whales. And those come and go in phases based on the food source. The humpbacks are awesome. They're very playful. And blue whales are the biggest. They're not quite as playful as the humpbacks, but they're the largest animal on Earth. And they're... one of the most exciting ones to see out here.
And how often do they do that thing where they jump out the water and do a big splash?
Yeah, Emma really wants to see that. Can you make
breach,
that happen?
A full breach. A blue whale will not do that because it's too big. But a humpback will do that occasionally.
Can we request that to happen today?
Let's request an orca to do that.
Okay.
Because an orca will do that, and I've only seen one orca breach in my life, and I would love to see that.
So obviously at the minute in the news, there's lots going on about orcas and whales and SeaWorld and stuff like that are getting a really, really bad name for this kind of thing. Is this why doing things like this are really, really important? Or does it sort of interrupt? Are we interrupting their flow this morning, these whales?
We are not interrupting them at all, no. Depending on what animal we see, some of them will come up and interact with the boat for fun. And they love playing with the boat. The
so
dolphins and the orcas will do the same thing. They did it yesterday. They play with the boat as a toy, so they're very happy. Whales, we usually just let them be. They're usually not quite as curious. They look totally happy, and they're usually feeding around here.
Okay. Let me just get this straight. So killer whales might play with the boat as a toy. Are you feeling comfortable, Dave?
Not even a little bit.
They very likely could. If we do come across them, yes.
How amazing.
Hopefully not biting at the boat, but hopefully playing right next to us.
Captain Taylor, would you say that whale watching is an essential when you come to visit Newport Beach?
Yes, definitely. Just getting out on the water. It's an easy way to get out on the water. You cruise through the harbor, and then you can go out there and see our ocean life. We have a lot of ocean life. Southern California is not known for its wildlife. But once you get out there, you actually see how much nature actually has to offer.
Hopefully there's a lot to offer today, because we are really, really excited.
I'm excited. Right, put your foot down, or is there a different nautical term for that?
Put your foot down.
Well, actually, do you know what Emma did say? She says, yee-haw, earlier on, when you give your first order. And I sort of looked at her and sort of thought, well, that's not what we should be saying. It's aye-aye, isn't it, Captain?
I say yee-haw every time we leave the harbour.
Okay.
When you speed it up, I say yee-haw.
Oh, in that case, yee-haw!
Yee-haw, Captain Taylor.
Yee-haw!
The orcas are here!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God, where?
Oh, my God, apparently there's some... We are speeding across the Pacific Ocean on our way to see some orcas.
I feel like David Attenborough. Emma.
I feel like a marine biologist, but I can't see anything.
Hold, here they are.
Where?
There's a lot of screaming
where
going on.
Where are they?
All I can hear is the captain screaming something about orcas.
Oh my gosh.
Up here.
Straight ahead. Yes, I can see. Yes, okay, those are a whale.
We're slowing down. Oh,
oh my
God,
God
Emma,
I
I've got goosebumps. Oh my God, I've got goosebumps. We've just seen a whale.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
The captain is screaming like a child.
Oh wow.
Here oh my God, are. I can see
okay.
a whale.
Okay, we're stuck.
Oh my God, whale straight ahead. Oh my God,
okay,
whale straight ahead. Whale to the right. Whale's coming out of the water. Oh my God.
Okay, this is an absolutely incredible scene. We're here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean with stunning views of actual full-on whales.
Oh, my God!
My goodness.
Literally about 20 feet off the starboard bow, two whales.
This is absolutely incredible. There seems to be...
Oh, my God, right in front!
There's one right in front. There's one right in front of us.
Can we get a picture as well?
Oh, my God, this is
absolutely remarkable. We've only been out on the boat for a matter of minutes, and they're here.
For everything, this is the first day we've seen them two consecutive.
There you go. The captain is having a fit because this is the first day they've ever seen orcas two days in a row.
Oh, my God! Wow! Hi, Will! Everybody on the boat,
oh
absolutely.
God, everyone is screaming. What is going on?
The whale is meters away from the boat.
Oh, there's another one over there.
They're just playing, Emma. The whales are just playing around the water.
Are these the killer ones? Do we know?
No,
are these killer whales?
I hope not.
No, these are the orcas.
This is like the peak of whale watching right here. It's just not getting better.
Oh, look, there's three over there.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
This is indescribable.
I have never seen adults screaming so much. This is just brilliant.
It's quite emotional, isn't it?
Really, it's really quite emotional. It's emotional for me just hearing the captain get that excited.
Look, there they go. Let's count them, Emma. One, two, three.
There's a couple over there as well. Two there together.
Five orcas. Our luck is definitely in.
Do you know
this
what?
I feel
so blessed. This is
amazing.
There's
another one there, Emma. Look.
I'm too busy talking. I'm not getting enough photos.
Out of nowhere, you just see these beautiful big black fins.
They've got a bit of white on their belly as well.
And the white there as well. Yeah. They're showing off now, aren't they? They want to be on the radio.
Well, my goodness me. I'm prone to exaggeration, but that is the best boat trip I have been on in 47 years. Dean, you bought the luck of the Irish, didn't you? What just happened?
We were out on the ocean for maybe 20 minutes, not even. We were in the middle of nowhere, and literally, there was just pandemonium on board this 12-seater boat because there was the most phenomenal sight of orcas that appeared at the back of the boat. Christy is our marine biologist. Tell us exactly what we saw.
Today we saw a special type of orca called the Eastern Tropical Pacific Orca. Now that orca is not seen very commonly. It's one of our least known populations of orca. We are lucky enough to see them maybe once a year, possibly twice a year. So this was a once-in-a-lifetime sighting for sure.
Well, it was. What was really exciting was you guys. I mean, you come out here every day. You were all screaming. So how exciting was that for you as a marine biologist?
That is very true. The orca is definitely the jackpot of whale watching. It's something everybody wants to see. It's a very well-known whale. Everybody knows what an orca looks like. However, here in Southern California, they're a lot more rare than in other parts of the world, like Alaska. So for me, this is just as special of an experience as it is for our passengers.
But they were here yesterday, and when we were going out, you know, we sort of said, okay, guys, look, the orcas were here yesterday, and the chances of us seeing them again are very slim. But we didn't just see them. They were playing with our boat, Christy.
Yes, they were. And you have to keep in mind, orca are large dolphins. They're the largest dolphin in the dolphin family. So they play just like other dolphins do. You think of a bottlenose, you think of flipper, same thing. And they love that pressure wave that the boat creates. And they ride that wave. They surf in our wake. They were just having a great time.
They really were. And the daddy of them all, there's about six in the pod, weren't there? The dad, how big would you say the dad was?
He was almost as big as our boat, at least 30 feet. I mean, he was massive.
But he kept going underneath it, and I was thinking he could have actually moved our boat or lifted it out of the water, couldn't
he? Yes, and they're very aware of their surroundings, so fortunately, he was just playing with us. Now, orcas have a matriarchal society, so it's the mothers are actually in charge. So the male, you saw one male and about seven other family members, two juveniles and some females. So the females are actually the ones in charge.
That is good to hear. And are they the same as killer whales then?
Yes, killer orca is another name for killer whale.
I love that Emma at one point said we could have pet the orca, and I'm not sure that we would have lived to tell the tale, would we?
We definitely got snotted by them. I don't know if they breathed on you, but they breathed on me.
What I also love as well, when they were breathing, they were really showing off, weren't they? Yeah. They were flapping their fins onto the ocean, and then they were what do you call that?
Is
that called a blow?
Yeah.
They were blowing rainbows, Emma.
Yeah. They were blowing rainbows, which is like, as if it's not magical enough, now they're blowing rainbows.
Gay killer whales.
Doing it for the gays.
You heard it here first. But what was quite amazing was you saw them all, like, swimming in formation. It was like they were doing synchronized swimming, and I was like, oh, isn't that lovely? Until you pointed out, they're doing that for stealth, aren't they?
Yes.
They're killing.
There's different ecotypes or types of killer whales that feed on different types of food. Some fish, but these ones specialize in marine mammals, so they're actually hunting dolphin. So at the end there, we saw them get in a long line, and they're basically going into stealth mode, and they're an ambush predator. So they're quietly swimming along until they encounter a prey. Like,
sorry, there's just a sea lion behind you, just literally lying on its back sunbathing.
Oh yeah, hi Pat, sticking its flippers.
Hi friend.
Back hi, to sea 50.
Yes. It was just the most incredible experience.
Amazing, so amazing. I'm so glad you came.
Well, listen, I tell you what, Emma, if there was one way that we could sum up our experience here in Newport Beach, it was just with orcas.
Yeah, awesome and unbelievable. They might kill baby dolphins and eat them, but they are beautiful creatures. Yeah. And I just feel very, very privileged to have had this experience with them. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
It's Emma and Dean with you. We've been enjoying Newport Beach, and wow, what a few days we've had.
I honestly can hand on heart say that being with those orcas today is going to be the highlight of this trip.
Well, yeah, I don't think how anything else can top that in our lives, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. From pedagoing to private boat tours to fabulous shopping and fashion island to stunning dinners at places like the Cannery, Balboa Island.
We need to talk about the food, Dean. The food has been... I mean, I've put on at least a stone, but I don't even care because I've had scallops, I've had burgers, I've had sea bass, I've had everything. Everything is just... The quality's been incredible, hasn't it?
And the Californian wine has a lot to live up to as well.
That was quite good as well, wasn't it, really?
That was quite nice.
And do you know what? It's astounding to me that I'd never even really heard of Newport Beach. And yet, if you're going to somewhere like LA, you can get to Newport Beach in 45 minutes, escape the hustle and bustle of the city, and it's a much more relaxed atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you ever watched The OC or Arrested Development, that's where it's filmed, you know, Orange County, that's where it is. The lifestyle is incredible, isn't it?
It's the equivalent of going to London on holiday and taking yourself out to Oxford or, you know, right out to the seaside to relax for a couple of days.
I tell you what...
You know, it's that kind of mindset of just, as you say, escaping the hustle and bustle. I'd go as far as to say that it's essential that you come to Newport Beach when you visit LA.
Yeah, if you go to LA, you've got to get out and get into the harbour and go and see the beaches.
Yeah.
And for me, whenever I go anywhere in Europe, I always try and find the marina. I have never seen so many yachts and incredible boats in my life.
Yes.
I mean, it really is. We've had an amazing time just looking at how other people live, haven't we?
We have indeed.
And having desirable lifestyles.
If you want to check out visually what we've been up to, head on to our social media at Gaydio, and you too can enjoy the sights and the sounds of the stunning Newport Beach.